Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Jenny and Patrick, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to another What's Up Peoria. This is our first podcast for the year 2025, and we are here today with Ivan from the city of Peoria because probably the most made New Year's resolution every single year without fail is to get healthier, whether it's to eat better or exercise more. So we are here with a new year, new you themed podcast. But first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm here, as always, with Poet Master Patrick. Hello there.
Good morning, Commissioner Gordon.
Yes. And then Ivan, please say hello to the folks of Peoria.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on the show.
We're excited to have you. So before we dive in, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your own personal journey with wellness?
Sure, absolutely. So for myself, I started my wellness journey when I was a little younger. I was about 12 years old. And I really wanted to find a way to kind of get involved, be well, kind of some of those different things. And so I got into basketball early on. That was kind of my driving piece. It was kind of my stress reliever. It was how I built a lot of my friendships early on. It's how I felt better about myself. It's how I kind of both physically, mentally, all those kind of different pieces kind of played a part into that. So I really dove into that. And then professionally, I also got into recreation as well, or wellness as well, by going into the recreation field, which I've been in since 2016, both part-time, and then moved into full-time in 2020. So now it's part of my job to kind of help educate within the realm of wellness. So I have to kind of live and breathe that to be able to kind of pass that on to whomever it is that comes into my facility or whomever that comes and crosses paths with me. So, yeah, it's a little bit about me.
Thank you.
Basketball. I love it. You got a favorite team?
I do. I am a big Memphis Grizzlies fan. Probably the only one you'll find in Arizona. But you know.
Okay, I'm not a sports person. So what state is that with?
Memphis Grizzlies. So in the state of Tennessee, it's their NBA basketball team. They're doing pretty well right now. I think they're second in the West Conference. So, you know, we're off to a good start, but we'll see how it goes. It's always tough.
Grizzlies. Yeah, that is a little unusual. Yeah. All right. So here we are. It's January. Everybody's making those big resolutions, most of which will be forgotten by February. Do you have any advice for people about setting more reasonable expectations, things that, you know, they might actually be able to stick with?
Yeah. So it always kind of, you know, with things in the nature of resolutions and some of those different pieces, it always falls on the person who's creating the goal. And what I always see is people usually give up because they kind of expect to start at a high point and continue that drive. So it doesn't work if, you know, you immediately start at the highest level and you got to keep that. It's not sustainable over time. And so the advice that I always give people when they're looking at New Year's resolutions and things that are in the realm of wellness is always kind of start off at a reasonable point, and sometimes it might be a little bit less than you can actually, you know, you could take a lot more, but you want to start off at a point where it's something that is sustainable over time. So, you know, if you think of personal training or whatever it might be, they don't start you off at a high weight, high repetition point. They're going to start you off kind of slower a couple days a week. They'll add a day after a week or two of kind of getting used to that. After a month, they might add another, you know, whatever it might be, another day. Or so you can't push yourself too quickly, too early on. And you have to continue to kind of remind yourself and be patient with yourself and allow yourself to maybe have a day where you're like, you know, I really don't feel like going to the gym today, or I don't feel like doing whatever specific exercise I have on the docket. That's okay to give yourself some of those passes. Don't give yourself too many of them. But you want to make sure that you start off initially at a point that is sustained. It's something that you can sustain over time and something that you can continue to build on. There's not a whole lot to build on if you're starting off 7 days a week doing 3 hours of exercise. It's pretty difficult. So creating a resolution that is sustainable over time, and also if you can, having a friend or a partner or whatever it might be to kind of hold you accountable, and you can hold them accountable as well, could be helpful. But really the most important piece is having it be something sustainable over time.
So set some reasonable expectations. Maybe don't start out with Arnold Schwarzenegger's weight training regimen.
Okay. Yeah, 100%. Definitely not that. 100%. So we're talking, of course, about diet and exercise, but there's also like stress and cortisol and all your different levels. How do you get in the right mindset? Like, how in the world do you motivate yourself to actually go? Because I know for me, that's my struggle. Like, I know it's something I need to do, but I don't do it because once I've done it, I feel great, but it's the getting there. So how would you tell people about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of aspects to the mental kind of mindset that comes within that. So, you know, the mental aspect of your overall health is definitely could be even more important, I would say, than your physical health, because it plays a part in your physical wellness as well. You know, anxiety and stress can kind of create different type of complications for you physically. And so you have to kind of start off initially getting yourself in the right mindset before you can give 100% to your physical workout. And so it's finding a specific niche that works for you, whatever helps kind of get you into a specific mindset. You know, if it's initially doing some yoga, if it's putting on certain kinds of music, if it's making sure you're working out with certain friend group, or, you know, whatever it might specifically be that's going to help to motivate you to get there. Because I know how boring it is to just kind of walk on a treadmill with, you know, nothing going on around you. It gets very boring very quickly. So you got to kind of find the way for that specific way for you to be able to put yourself in that mental state to be able to continue your exercise.
Way to trick yourself to be excited about it, basically.
100%. Yeah. So, you know, for myself, I kind of, with basketball, made sure that I had specific friend groups I would always meet up with. And that was the motivation. It's kind of like social aspect and also exercise simultaneously. A lot of people I know listen to a specific type of podcast or music or whatever might be while they're kind of going through that as well. So those are things that they kind of look forward to within their day. And that's what gets them motivated.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We got a treadmill maybe 6 months ago, and when I started doing it, I was just walking, you know? And yeah, it was horrible. It was awful.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. It's boring after a little bit, but, you know, if you add in a little things here and there to make it a little more exciting, that's what'll get you
motivated.
It's
true. And one day I was watching my wife do it, and she had the iPad set up and was watching the show, and I was like, what was I thinking doing this, like, with nothing?
Yeah.
And then I started, watching or listening to actually some of my favorite podcasts, and all of a sudden that half an hour was just flying by.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 100% what it is. You got to kind of trick yourself and tell yourself, oh, I'm just watching TV. I'm not doing anything else. Or I'm doing whatever it is that you really want to do. But you're also kind of getting into that physical niche and doing some of those different pieces as well.
All right. So once we're in the right frame of mind, what's the first thing to tackle? If you could get people to change just one thing about their lifestyle that you think would make them feel better every day, what would that be?
Sure. So I answer both those parts a little bit separately. So the next step after you kind of get yourself into the right frame of mind would definitely be to set the goals that you want to accomplish, right? I usually write them out and I'll pin them on my wall or whatever it might be to kind of make sure that I'm holding myself to that specifically. So it is a full lifestyle adjustment at times. You know, you can't just work out and say, okay, I'll be good to go if that's what you're kind of shooting for. You know, I have a lot of people that come into my recreation center and they'll be like, oh, you know, I want to put on 20, 30 pounds of muscle or whatever it might be. I'm like, okay, well, that's a ton. You know, there's a lot of steps that go into that. And you also have to consider everything surrounding it too. You know, you have to eat right. You have to make sure that you're sleeping enough. There's a lot of steps, aside from just the actual physically coming in and working out for an hour or whatever it might specifically be. So, there's something that's known as the wellness wheel that kind of incorporates different aspects of wellness. So part of that is the mental aspect, the physical aspect, the spiritual aspect, right? All of those pieces are specifically interconnected. And it's essentially kind of similar to any sort of system. So if a cog in that wheel is sort of missing, or if a cog within that system is missing, then another aspect is affected, or multiple aspects could be affected by it. So I think people kind of need to take more time to incorporate, you know, daily time for each of those specific sections within that specific system, you know, making sure you're taking the mental time that you need to be prepared, making sure that obviously you put in the physical work, making sure that you're taking the time to kind of be one with your spiritual side as well, or, you know, whatever that kind of looks like for each individual. Each of those kind of have to be accounted for in order for you to really be able to tackle some of those specific pieces. Even if it's as little as, you know, doing a meditative kind of breathing exercise or whatever it might be that might help to get you in the right state of mind. But it's definitely considering each of those specific parts, setting your goals, and then that way you're kind of making sure that you are fully prepared for that goal that you're looking to tackle.
Yeah, it makes sense. We are more than just body. It's like body, spirit, soul. And so it makes sense that you would want to focus on each element to make them all work together.
Right.
Speaking of that, we know that water, especially in the desert, is incredibly important. But there's all these kinds of diets, everything from it was Atkins, now it's keto, then there's paleo, and, you know, on and on and on it goes. And, of course, at the library, we have all the books for all the different diets. So, like, what do you feel like, which ones are actually helpful, you know, versus what's trendy? What have you seen over the years?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of people succeed with different diets. I've seen a lot of people have some challenges with different diets. And honestly, it's kind of tricky. You got to find what works best for you because not everybody reacts to every diet well.
That makes
sense. So I've seen, you know, I've had a friend of mine who's lost 65 plus pounds and is, you know, doing well for himself as far as the physical side goes, doing keto. And I've seen some people who have not had any success with keto whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
And so it really goes to show you, you know, you really have to figure out what works best for you. It is a little bit of a trial and error. It's not something where it's a cookie cutter sort of thing where everybody can take that same approach and it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to kind of, you know, figure out what's going to work best for you, what's going to fit with the exercise type and the body type you're trying to shoot for as well, or the mental state you want to be in or whatever might be, right? So it really depends on what aspect of wellness you're looking at. But on the physical side, as far as dieting goes and some of those different things, you don't want to cut out a ton of things and then all of a sudden you're deficient in certain vitamins or certain kind of pieces that you need.
I know that's always the struggle for people who want to try a vegetarian diet is how do they get the protein still in their bodies so that they have that balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, you want to consider some of those things. You definitely want to consult a, you know, your primary care if you have any sort of concerns within that realm for sure. But aside from that, it really is trial and error, kind of figuring out what works best for you and then finding ways to have that be sustainable as well. Because that's a similar piece. Again, if you're super used to eating, you know, if you've eaten meat your whole life and you've eaten meat every single day and then you're trying to go straight into a vegetarian or vegan diet, it might not be the most sustainable right away. So again, kind of similar to what we talked about before, you kind of need to ease yourself into some of those things.
Yeah, Mom and I tried one where it was like the idea was you could have all the carbs you wanted, but then you would have to wait like it was either 3 or 4 hours and then you could have your protein and like maybe your watery vegetables, like the greens.
Sure.
But then you couldn't have any carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you wanted carbs, you again had to wait 3 to 4 hours. And the problem with that is like you got ridiculously hungry in between those two spans of time. It's like, okay, that one's not working for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sustainable part of it. You got to kind of see what's going to work for you. And if it doesn't, that's okay. Then you kind of move on to the next thing and see if it works for you. And you know, a lot of times people try to do a lot of things with the type of foods that they eat, or they might, you know, adjust how often they eat. And sometimes it's just all about balance and control.
Yeah, moderation.
Yep. And figuring out how that's going to work for you.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I mean, we're all different, right? We all have different bodies. People have different genetic makeups. What works for one person might not work for another person. I, you know, to go back to what Jenny was saying a minute ago about that 3 to 4 hour diet that she was on, I know for me personally, I had done some intermittent fasting in the past and I had a lot of success with it. I felt really good. I lost a lot of weight. I was doing really well. Unfortunately, I couldn't keep it up. It's tough to keep up. But like for my wife, that is absolutely off the table. She cannot go like you were talking about. She cannot go for that long without eating. That's just a non-starter for her.
Sure.
But things like intermittent fasting have been getting a lot of press lately. You know, I see a lot of people talking about it on social media. What do you think about that kind of dieting, that kind of approach to losing weight?
Yeah. So, I mean, intermittent fasting, that's what I do currently. And I try to stick to it as best as I can. Again, I've seen a lot of success and I've seen a lot of challenges, and it's exactly what you said. I mean, some people just can't function in their day to day, especially, you know, those who are going to work early in the morning or whatever it might be. It doesn't work for them to be able to just kind of skip breakfast and then move into the next thing. Some people it works well, and then they just bring a lot of snacks for when they get to that point and try to keep themselves at a specific limit of how much, how many calories they're kind of taking in. But again, similar to what we kind of talked about before, there's no cookie cutter approach. You really have to trial run everything to kind of figure out what works best for you. I've had a lot of success, like I said, using intermittent fasting. I was 205. I went down to about 180 via intermittent fasting and a couple other things. But again, it's a process, because kind of same to what we were talking about before. Before trying intermittent fasting, I was trying keto, and for me, it personally did not work. Mm. But I, like I said, I had a buddy that it worked wonders for, but he didn't have success with intermittent fasting. So we kind of flip-flop in that, where intermittent fasting worked for me and it didn't work for him. And so it really is a trial and error. It's kind of tricky. I wish that there was something that everybody can do
and it would work perfectly. Here's the thing, and now you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That would be nice.
I wish there is something, but again, it's all kind of intertwined with the goals that you have set. And some people too, I mean, their fitness goals could even be to put on weight, right? Some people want to gain weight. They want to gain muscle. You know, it really depends on what their goals are. So if you're trying to put on muscle, intermittent fasting might not work too well for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really just depends on what your goal is, but there is some success with it. There's some science behind it that's proved that it is successful for some, but again, you just kind of have to trial run it and see what works for best for you.
All right. Well, another plug for the library. We've got all the cookbooks here, so you can keep trying until you find the one that works.
There you go.
Got all the diet books, too. I worked at Barnes & Noble for a long time. We used to joke that all the hot diet books for this year were going to be next year's remainder books.
Oh, the clearance section.
Nothing was harder to get rid of than last year's diet books.
That makes sense. All right. Well, we've talked a little bit about eating, so we're going to go down everyone's favorite topic of exercise. What are some good, like maybe low impact exercises that people could like kind of dip their toe into the water of how to get started? Because sometimes it can just be daunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I usually tell people when they're trying to start out and look for kind of low impact things, start off with something as simple as taking walks and listening to music at the same time. I always recommend that. It's an easy one to kind of start off with. Find kind of something that's not, I personally am not the biggest fan of being on a treadmill and doing things like that. Some people love it. It's just not for me. I prefer to go for a walk kind of like in a park or something where the scenery is consistently changing.
Well, and at least in Arizona, this is the time of year where it actually is like, let's go outside because we can.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Agree 100%. We have the treadmill, but we only got it for, you know, those days when it's like 124 out. I'd much rather go outside and walk down to the park, for sure.
Right. Yeah. And that's what it is. I mean, it also depends on your environment. Sometimes it's too hot, too cold, or whatever it might be, and you can't really get out. And the treadmill is great for that. And that's where, kind of like we talked about earlier, maybe a podcast or a show at the same time might help to kind of pass the time a little quicker. But for me personally, I mean, I love to kind of have a change of scenery. It's a good way to start off with some of those low impact pieces. But again, it also depends on your goal. So if you're looking to kind of cut weight, then definitely do a lot of cardio. That's where walks or biking or, you know, things of that nature are good starts as far as cardio goes. If you have a specific sport that you want to learn, that's a great piece to get into cardio-wise. I know pickleball is a big one that's picking up nowadays.
Oh, my goodness. It's everywhere. Yep. Yes.
Yep. We have it in our gym 3 days a week, and people love it. So, you know, things like that, you got to kind of figure out what's going to work best for you. But again, if you're more so looking into building muscle, you can start on low-weight, high-repetition kind of machines at a local gym, or you can look into having a personal trainer kind of help you get familiar with some of the different machines, the free weights, how some of those specific exercises might help you from a low impact perspective. But definitely starting low weight, high repetition is the way to go, especially to start off.
How much time a day should people be devoting to exercise to really see some kind of benefit without, you know, having it kind of consume their whole lives?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, there's no magic number, but what I would say is you have to be consistent, obviously. I always tell people you have to kind of feel out your workout or feel out how your body is reacting to specific workouts and how many days a week. You know, if you're trying to put in 6 days a week and you're trying to stick to an hour and a half, 2 hours of exercise, and then that seventh day you can't move, then you're probably not doing too much good for your body. Certain exercises obviously require far less time than others that make you feel kind of burnt. So if you're doing push-ups for, you know, 3 minutes straight, you're probably going to feel a lot more sore than if you're walking for 3 minutes straight, right? So again, it's kind of feeling some of those specific pieces out, and it depends again on that goal that you're looking to set. You have to challenge yourself. And I always say, if you challenge yourself to get in a good sweat, that's how you know you're kind of getting to a good point, right? And that's your body's kind of natural marker to tell you that you're doing something good to make it work hard to kind of achieve the goals that you're putting in. So you definitely don't want to push yourself to exhaustion, but there needs to be sort of that balance where you are pushing yourself to go beyond just, you know, the day-to-day simple things or whatever it might be. A general rule of thumb that they utilize is 3 to 4 weeks, or I'm sorry, 3 to 4 times a week for about an hour. But again, it really depends on if you're doing weightlifting by comparison to if you're doing cardio.
Yeah, isn't the idea, at least back in the day, what I remember was it's supposed to be like 3 days of cardio, and then like you do muscle or reps or whatever on the 2 days in between is kind of like the ideal exercise regime.
Yeah, so that's kind of the ideal Monday through Friday kind of piece, and then you take your weekends off is like the Monday, Wednesday, Friday cardio, and then Tuesday, Thursday weightlifting. But again, for some people it works wonders, but it really depends on your goals, especially if you're trying to put on muscle. You might want to spend a little bit more time doing weightlifting. So you might end up swapping that.
And doing the Monday, three and Wednesday, two. Friday. Okay. Yep. That makes sense depending on your goals.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that advice about, you know, go until you start to break a sweat. I also find that that's right about the time that I kind of get my second wind, you know, when those endorphins start to kick in and I actually start to kind of enjoy it a little.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it is. That's where that physical and mental part kind of intertwine, is that, you know, once you kind of start to release some of those specific pieces within the body naturally, that kind of helps you to feel more mentally well. That kind of helps you to get that second wind, like you kind of talked about. You get more energy throughout your day. And you get a better sleep too, because your body needs to kind of recover. And then when you wake up the next day, if you get a good sleep in, then you're like, wow, this feels a little bit different than what I'm kind of used to. So it's a good feeling for sure.
So yeah, we've talked about mental wellness, at least a little bit in the beginning, of course, diet and exercise. Is there anything we're missing to, you know, being able to approach wellness, like from a full holistic view?
Sleep, 100%, huge factor. I know we talked about it a little bit, but I can't stress it enough. I mean,
how many hours should it be? Should it be 7, 8, 6, or is that also depending on the person?
Yeah, it does depend on the person a lot. So people always think it's 7 to 8, which is kind of like the average, I guess, that doctors would typically say is a good point or a good threshold to look at. I'll be the first to say for myself, 7 hours is not nearly enough. I mean, 8 to 9 usually feels a little bit better for me, sometimes even 10 if I had like a really rigorous workout. So it is something you need to feel out for yourself as well. But if you're getting less than 7, you definitely need to up that number for sure, because sleep is the biggest aspect, or the one that's the most impactful, both physically and mentally for sure, that a lot of people take for granted sometimes. And it's really easy to, you know, you have things that are going on, you have, you know, people you're hanging out with or whatever it might specifically be. But if you want full results from a wellness perspective, both mentally and physically, you need to make sure that you're getting in some good sleep.
It's fantastic advice. Yeah, I always feel better after getting a good sleep. And that exercise, I find that those days when I do get in some more physical activity, I always sleep better.
Yeah, 100%.
So I talked a little bit before about how I used to work for Barnes & Noble. I've been over here at the library now for 3 years. I love it. Best change I ever made. But at that job, I was on my feet all day. All day, every day, except for, you know, my half hour lunch. And then over here, I'm at the desk all the time and I'm definitely packed on a few pounds. So do you have any advice for those of us who have these more sedentary jobs where, you know, we're at that desk a lot of the day? How can we keep active? How can we keep moving? How can we maybe keep those pounds at bay?
Sure. So while you are on clock, what I would kind of say is that there's definitely ways to combat it. So I've seen some people who get like standing desks and some of those different things, and people are like, I'm never going to do that. But they do go a long way, just because sitting for a certain amount of time, it kind of stiffens up your body. It gets your kind of ligaments kind of stiffened up and everything, and it makes it a little bit more difficult to get your workout in later. Definitely taking micro breaks to be able to get up, stretch, breathe a little bit. Some people I've seen, it works for them to kind of exercise in their lunch. Other people are like, I'm not doing that. I need to make sure that I eat, which is definitely important as well. Even working within kind of a sedentary job, You still have to kind of take the time for the dieting part of it. So that comes at home, obviously, either it's prepping meals or whatever it might be. People kind of get accustomed to, you know, when you're working, it's a lot easier to go and get something to eat out. And I do that all the time too. It's tough to not do that. But kind of taking that part into account. And even if you do eat out, that's okay. But what are the things that we're kind of consuming that affects us? The sleep aspect obviously is a big portion. And then the workout adjustment. So are you putting in your time after? Are you putting in your time before work? Are you putting it during your lunch, whatever it might specifically be? So it's really finding the time and working around it. And it does get difficult sometimes, but you know, sometimes it's trying to kind of be as creative as you can. I know I've had a lot of folks and a lot of employees that have came to me and said it got way more difficult when, you know, if they had kids or if they had, you know, whatever it might specifically be that kind of
life happens.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, some of them started doing, you know, sports with their kids. They'd kind of go and play basketball or they'll go like throw a football around, right? So some of those things, obviously, it's important for that that interaction, but that's something that you can do for yourself as well. So it's definitely just finding the time. And I know it is kind of a difficult process, but you got to find what's best for you. And I've seen people love working out in the morning before work. I could never do that. I do it after work. But it's really, again, finding that niche and what works best for you and your schedule.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Well, before we go, because we are at a library, we always like to ask our guests about a book that you've read either recently or one that you had in the past that you really had a positive impact on you, like one you maybe recommend for wellness or one that just really helped you in your own journey.
Sure. So the book that I would definitely recommend is The Mamba Mentality. So it is a book about NBA superstar Kobe Bryant before he passed. Mm-hmm. And so essentially what it's about is just kind of the battle and the challenges that he went through as he's kind of preparing to enter into the NBA. And then when he got into the NBA, kind of what he did to stick to his regimen, to stick to his goals, to stick to all those different things. A couple quotes from that. So one of them that he utilized was, if you see me in a fight with a bear, pray for the bear. So, right. That kind of gives you insight as to kind of that drive that he had and that mm-hmm. focus on his goal and kind of showing that, you know, no matter what you throw at me, I'm going to take it on and I'm going to challenge it. And he kind of proved that too. I mean, within his lifetime, he was known for having a very rigorous routine to practice as much as he possibly could. Was always the first one in the gym and the last one out. So that's kind of that drive. And it's tough to get to that point, but you know, he found his niche in basketball and it was something that he was just so passionate about that it was easy for him to be in the gym for hours and hours and hours at a time. And then the other one that I'll kind of put out another quote would be, without studying, preparation, and practice, you're leaving the outcome to fate. And it's definitely true, right? If you put in the time to kind of prep yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it might be for some of those goals that you're setting for yourself, then you're gonna get yourself in a point where you're gonna be, you know, more successful. If you're not taking that time to prepare, to practice, to put in your workouts, to put in, you know, the time to sleep, to put in the time to prep your meals, whatever it might be, you're leaving it to fate. Hopefully I'll shed a few pounds, or hopefully I'll get myself to be more well, or hopefully I'll put on muscle. And those things don't always line up to your side. So you wanna kinda take control as much as you can. And put yourself in a good spot.
It makes sense, because the more that's, I think, true of any discipline, is that you have to put anything worth doing is going to require effort and hard work.
Yep, absolutely. It's kind of a couple things that I took from that book. And for me, it kind of helped me recognize, not even just in a wellness piece from, you know, physical wellness and getting my body right, but even just professionally and helping me kind of stick to the goals that I set for myself at work and, you know, with my family personally and some of those different things as well.
Mamba Mentality by Kobe Bryant. I remember when that book came out, it was a big seller. It definitely had an impact on a lot of people, I think. Changed people in a lot of positive ways. So one of the things we do here in this new iteration of the What's Up Peoria podcast is what we call the Poetry Corner. We try to pick a poem that we feel like relates to the topic of discussion. And I'll just read the poem and then ask for your thoughts. Today we've got a poem called Self-Care by James Cruz. So I'll go ahead and read that now. Some days it feels like a foreign language I'm asked to practice with new words for happiness, work, and love. I'm still learning how to say a cup of tea for no reason what to call the extra honey I drizzle in, how to label the relentless urge to do more and more as poison, and how to translate the heart's pounding message when it comes, enough, enough. This morning I search for words to capture the glimmering sun as it lifts above the mountains, clouds already closing in as fat droplets of rain darken the deck. I'm learning to call this stillness self-care too. Just standing here, watching goldfinches scatter up from around the feeder like pieces of bright yellow stained glass, reassembling in the sheltering arms of a maple. So one of the reasons I thought, we talked a lot about the holistic approach to wellness today, the spiritual piece, the mental piece, and I thought this poem really spoke to that. I think that's the piece that gets left out a lot when people make these resolutions. I need to lose 15 pounds. I need to, you know, put on more muscle. But as you said multiple times throughout the interview today, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when I'm looking through or kind of listening to what you read out, I think one of the big pieces is, as much as it is an important and a driving factor for you to kind of make sure you're sticking to your goals and kind of put in the work and practice and get yourself to where you want to be, it's just as important to take a step back and breathe through it all. Mm-hmm. It's just as important to take the time to rest. It's just as important to, you know, not overbear yourself with too many commitments and too many things to where you're anxious all the time.
Yeah, that's definitely my struggle, that this poem speaks to where I am, because I'm always, I have a hard time relaxing. I always want to be doing something and engaged in something. So it really is a matter of balance, of being able to just take that moment. Because when you do, like when you just stop to look at how the sun sets and just really take that moment to enjoy the beauty of God's creation, you're just like, ah, and it gives you that ability to be able to tackle the next thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, you got to be comfortable with setting your boundaries, making sure that you're setting them both with friends, with family, with yourself, with your workplace, whatever it might specifically be, and finding what kind of works best for you to make sure that you're in a good spot to be able to take care of yourself at the end of the day.
All great advice. Ivan, I want to thank you so much for being here today for our New Year, New You, What's Up Peoria podcast. It's been a fun interview.
Appreciate it, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Commissioner Gordon, thanks again for being my co-pilot. Everybody, please join us again for the next What's Up Peoria podcast 2 weeks from today. Thanks and have a good day.
Have a great day.
Bye, y'all.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up Peoria.